This is the Alternative Investing Advantage podcast from Advanta IRA, where we show you how to explore investments beyond Wall Street and open your eyes to new options for your portfolio. It's time to take control and give yourself the freedom to choose where you invest your money.
Hi, and welcome back to the Alternative Investing Advantage podcast, part two. Everyone is waiting for, and this one's going to be something that I really hope I can take some good tidbits out of is mindset. I've, you know, been in the tactical investing world for my entire career, which is now going on 13 years, which is interesting to say. But, you know, I feel like I know a lot about investing in many forms and fashions. But one thing that I will be the first one to admit is I'm kind of woefully ignorant on, you know, how to adjust my mindset or develop a mindset or really understanding truly what a successful mindset really even is. You know, besides the fact that, you know, maybe I know how to define the word, and maybe I'll find out today that I really don't. But a lot of stuff when it comes to, you know, investing or anything in life can kind of be boiled down to your own interpersonal relationship with yourself. You know, you set yourself up for success. If you aren't setting yourself up for success, anything that you try to do most likely won't be successful. Granted, people win the lottery every day. Not a whole lot, but some people do. But for the vast majority of us, it comes down to hard work and the other thing that I alluded to, mindset. So Kim, thank you very much for agreeing to do a two-part. I think this is going to be very beneficial, not only for people interested in doing franchise investing, which again is so much as figuring out that person's mindset as to which type of franchise or business or model is going to be a fit for them. But also, I think people can take away from this things that will help them be successful in many walks of life. So again, thank you very much for taking part of your day to do a two-part with this. And then also, let's jump into mindset. So what I would probably first ask you is let's give a definition of mindset. You know, again, I probably just define different for many people, but coming from an expert on someone that coaches people on mindset, what is kind of the baseline when someone says, hey, like, you know, what does mindset even mean, man? Like, what does that mean to you? And how would you kind of begin that conversation? And we'll go from there.
Awesome question. So the equation I would give is success in anything in life is 20% strategy and 80% mindset. So the mindset is how you think, how you talk, and how you act.
Okay, so let's break that down. So with effective mindset, strategy obviously is going to be, you know, the general roadmap of what you need to do in order to be successful. You know, you have the business, you have the employees, you have a general strategy, you have revenue. Okay, we have a general strategy, but let's break that down for talking. So much of what I do in my career is talking, maybe much to the, you know, chagrin of my wife. You know, I talk all day, whether that is my, you know, portion of my career that's in education and educating people on tax law and investments and doing sales. So much of it is talking. So let's start with that. You know, with mindset, what does talking mean? Is it just having a professional demeanor? Is it just, you know, not using baseline words and filling your sentences with ums? What does that mean to you?
That's a great question. So what I mean by that is, so I'm going to relate this to franchising, but then we can zoom out and make it a generic conversation. So let's say that you sign your franchise agreement, right? You've done all your investigation, you know the business plan that you're saying yes to. So you go to training and you get all the strategy for how to get your business up and running. The number one thing that I see people do is lose sight of their own goals and dreams, which means they're not taking ownership of what they're saying yes to. So what I equate this to is a business owner is like so let's say a ship without a port is lost at sea. A business owner without goals is lost at sea. How do you know where you're going if you don't have a benchmark to say we're on target? It is not the franchisor's job to create your goals and dreams. It's your job. And I would venture to say that you can be, do, and have anything you want in that franchise business if you set the goal. And I know this to be true because this is what happened to me. I was 8 years an average performing consultant in my franchise. And then 1 year later, back in 2011, I made history in the franchise consulting industry by building the largest consulting business that had ever been built at that time. And I've spent the last 13 years at the time of this recording mastering the art of what I did that first year in 2011. So I was the same me from 2010 to 2011. My process was exactly the same. My strategy was exactly the same, if you will, my business plan. We were still in a recession, but I created two very different realities. I did over 3.5 times more revenue in 2011 than I did in 2010 or any previous year. So what changed? The world didn't change. I changed. And when I changed, the world did change. So there's this thing, and I said it in part one, where people believe that the franchise is going to be the savior. I bought the franchise. Like, you're supposed to do this for me. No. The franchise buys you the tools, but it's how you execute with the tools. So what? Let's apply that practically. If you're running a sales organization and you never get out in the field and hear no, to where you can better coach your salespeople on how not to get the no, right? Or you don't understand the closing ratios that are in that particular business, right? So like, hearing no is very off-putting, but if you understand that 4 out of 5 people are going to say no to you, you're not as off-put by it. That's what I mean by that. So it's having knowledge of what you're doing and then putting the thinking, the mindset, okay, and saying to your team with confidence, right? We need, if we want to have 5 sales every week and we are 1 out of 3, then we need 15 appointments on the books, right? And you know that 10 out of those 15, you're going to hear no. So they're less off put by the 10 no's, looking for the 5 yeses. And if the 5 yeses aren't coming, then it's a matter of, okay, are we prospecting for the right people? Are we asking the right questions and really setting up what we're doing as best as we can so we can get those no's to yeses? That's what I mean. That's mindset. That is not a function of what you're buying in the franchise.
No, absolutely. And I think that's so much of what people need to understand is that, you know, setting that realistic expectation of what you need in that mindset is going to help you so much more. We actually did customer service training this morning with some of our operations and support staff, and, you know, sales and marketing was in there too. But, one thing I kind of brought up was, you know, if you can set an expectation to whatever in that is, it's so much easier to digest it, whether it's your customer or your organization as a whole. If you understand, okay, here's the, you know, what is typically going to happen to get this result, just because, you know, if all these things don't happen, well, we understand, we've set our mind to accept that, okay, we need to have 14 no's to get that 1 yes. Well, if you need 3 yeses, then you understand that you need to have all of those other no's in order to get to that end result. It makes it so much more palatable, and instead of just thinking, oh, well, I got, you know, 13, 14, 15 no's, and I only got one. Why is this happening? As opposed to saying, okay, well, I understood that, you know, I needed to have this to get this result. Again, expectations is everything in life. And if you can understand those expectations, I really do wholeheartedly agree with that aspect. Now, I think it's probably worth elaborating a little bit on is, how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare mentally? How do you get your mindset ready to be able to accept whether it's no's, whether it's something else? I'd maybe elaborate onto what kind of comes into that initial, you know, front load. Is it just, you know, having, is the strategy play a part in that? Does, realistic expectations play a part? Or is it, again, kind of an amalgam of all of that?
Yeah. And also, I want to address the first question you asked about what does talking mean? Because I want to finish off my thought on that. But yes, I don't know how you prepare for it. I mean, I think you have to wake up and be like, okay, as the owner of this business, I'm the creator of this reality. So when you're buying a franchise, you have other people, other franchisees, not just people at a corporate office who are teaching you the sales process. But if you're bumping up against a lot of no's or objections, you have a family of franchisees who are not competitors. They are all shareholders in your brand. And collectively, we come together in a franchise to help each other. That's just part of what we do. So you have other people who may be hearing the same no, where you can figure out, how could we turn this to a yes? Or maybe people who aren't hearing no, better yet, who you can say, how do you get a yes out of that? And then coach yourself to that. But this is where that word grit comes in, because people think it's going to be so easy because I bought a franchise. And no, the plan is simple because it's created for us, but execution of it is never easy. And it's the perfection of that execution year over year over year that creates a successful outcome? And can you stick to it? So the first part, when you asked me, like, what does it mean what you talk and what people talk about, what I mean by that is, how are you talking to yourself? Oh my God, this business is so hard. They sold me a bill of goods, right? That kind of thinking, a victim, this isn't right. I've been lied to. Where is that going to go? Nowhere good. And once those thoughts are in your head, what tends to come out of your mouth is more negativity, right? So the story that you're telling yourself in your head actually ends up becoming what you end up creating. Whether we realize it or not, if you think about your entire life, when you have a really good day, if you think about what stories you were telling in your head that day, you were probably telling some pretty good stories, right? If you were telling some pretty bad stories, maybe it started with traffic or your kids in the morning or your spouse, or right? And you were just frustrated and irritated and you start going down that rabbit hole in your mind, what tends to come out of your mouth is more frustration and negativity, which then creates more of that in your life. Well, business owners are notorious for this, and especially in a franchise where there's somebody to blame, the franchisor. And so you have to kind of look at yourself and go, okay, if I'm the owner of this, I'm not a victim to the franchisor. They haven't lied to me. It may be harder than I thought it was going to be, but that doesn't mean they lied to me. It means I have to put on my big girl pants today and go work it out. And so you have to tell yourself a story. And what I really found what worked for me was taking my big annual goal that seemed very overwhelming and bringing it down to a daily focus. Now, when I call my company the Daily Coach, this came after 2011 because I started, like, I literally came down to, okay, what do I have to accomplish today to move the needle forward today? So if I need 250 people in the course of a year, right, to place whatever, 50 people into franchising, whatever your numbers are, if I'm focused on the 250, that's a very overwhelming number. I'm sitting here today going, how do I generate all these people? But if I said, okay, if I'm going to work 250 days this year, and I only need to find one person today, do you see how much easier that is? So when it became a daily focus, I made history. And so when I did it, it changed everything about how I coach other people to do it. And as I started reading books by Napoleon Hill, like Think and Grow Rich or Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret, or Rhonda Burns, The Secret, or any book by Tony Robbins on success, when you really look at what all of these mindset gurus say, it's what I figured out for myself. So when I tell people and I speak with such passion and conviction, it's because when you experience it and it's real to you, you have so much more integrity. And that's where my passion comes from, because it was like, oh, like I read all the books, but until I actually experienced the power of like being in the moment, focused on the present day, breaking my big goals down into daily bite-sized goals. My last name happened to be Daily. It was sort of like, what am I going to name my company? Oh, I know. Yeah. The Daily Coach, because the magic is in today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, and for the life of me, I cannot remember where I heard this one, but it plays really well into it. And I jotted it down, is that, you know, talk to yourself with purpose and positivity. I really wish I had remembered where I'd read that, or I'm always bad at attributing quotes that aren't like big historical Churchill ones to like books that I read, but it really does hold true. And especially to the point that you also made about, you know, things that, you know, certainly, you know, I encourage people that really want to get that granular hands-on, you know, contact people like Kim that actually offer this as a service. But if you're taking this on face value at a podcast, one thing I really kind of liked was, you know, you made the point of, you know, your best days, which one are you telling the best stories, or were you focusing on the bad? You know, to that example of that, of just, you know, looking at that perspective of that bad day versus the good day. Let's say on that bad day, you got caught in traffic, you got in an argument with your spouse. But let's also say on that bad day, you got caught in traffic, but you made the biggest deal of your professional career there. You had the best meal of your life. You reconnected with an old friend. From that same perspective, you could say, hey, I got caught in traffic, I got in an argument with my wife, I got crap sleep that night. Or you could say, you know what, I got to the office, I killed it, you know, whatever that deal was, you know what, went out to dinner, had an amazing meal, same exact day, two different, you know, kind of mindsets or perspectives, and it's a whole different story that you're telling yourself. And again, I think I'm, you know, what I took away from the talking aspect of those 3 points is, you know, you talk to yourself on a daily basis.
Now you got it.
You're the one that gets to narrate that story. So make it the best story possible. You can't necessarily control all the outside factors in your life. And a lot of the, you know, people you alluded to, Tony Robbins, the gentleman that wrote the book, The Secret, a lot of these things, you know, you can't control everything else in your life, but you can always control your inner monologue. You can control how you talk to yourself. You control how you treat yourself. So why not treat yourself as best as possible? Stuff's going to happen, but you can control those things. Focus on what you can control, have the realistic, attainable goals, and then, you know, work from there. I think that, again, those are great points. And to the point you also made about, you know, implementation of these things can be tough, but the overlying principles can be easy. Something can be simple and very hard. You know, running a marathon is very simple. You put one foot in front of the other for 26.2 miles and you did a marathon. Executing that is extremely difficult. So understanding where the difficulties lie in life and understanding where things can be simple and easy will make the things that are long, hard, and arduous as easy as they can be.
Yeah, what happened to me was when I took my annual goals down to a bite-sized daily goal, it allowed me to come to work playing a little game with myself. Like, okay, I just have to find, you know, one new customer today, if, or whatever the goal was, right? And it became, in the beginning, I had no skill for that. So I had to learn some skill. But I always tell people, you know, when you become the owner worthy of the business, you have the business. People want the outcome of money, but it's what are you willing to give to create, right? So we give and then we receive in business ownership, right? So I'll always tell people, if you're not making enough money, your equation's off. You're not giving enough value, right? So it always, the giving of value precedes the getting of money. And if ever you're in business for yourself and you're not getting enough money, you got to go back to giving. Giving should always exceed the receiving. And so that's what happened. I started focusing on, all right, how can I find more people? How can I give more value to more people so that more people will want to know what I do and work with me to help solve this problem in their life of control of time and money freedom? And so I started asking myself that question consistently every single day, and it became a game. And as I came to work and I started to develop some skill and some success, what happened is my confidence started to grow and I was excited to come to work. And before, when I was frustrated, it was because I wasn't getting something. But now I was coming to work to give and I was in control of that, and that changed my attitude. And when my attitude changed, and especially once I started to get good at it and I started to come to work feeling unstoppable, right? Then it was like, it's this momentum. It's a domino effect. You tip the first domino by taking action, and you take the action consistently so it builds your confidence. And then your confidence creates this abundance effect, which is where all the dominoes start to fall. What once was a no now becomes a yes. The doors that were closed now open. I started having people come out of the woodwork, right? I didn't know where the people were coming from, but they just started to come. Not because it was like magic, because I created this abundance effect. I was the creator of all of that. And so then it came back to me. So in business, when you are in any kind of a scarcity feeling, I don't have enough customers, I don't have enough help, I don't have enough money, you have to reverse that in your mind and say, I'm not giving enough, and own it and start giving. And from that place of giving, you will always receive. It may not come overnight. It is a daily discipline to stay focused, like going to the gym. So I'm a gym rat, right? I know that I can't go and do bicep curls one day and expect to see toned arms. I have to do it consistently, and then consistently lift more weight. Well, the same thing when you own a business. It's the consistency. When you look back over the course of my first year, I was only 80% effective at reaching my daily goal. But 80% effective made me a history maker. So perfection is not the goal. What is? Consistency.
Yeah, don't let perfection stand in the way of progress. Yeah, you will get there eventually. And I think that it really kind of leads in, you know, we kind of covered it, but just to kind of, I think the three points that you brought up, you know, between the talk, think, and act really kind of play well into the second act of this podcast. You know, the thinking, let's really kind of drill down on that, because, you know, you've set the mindset of, okay, talking to yourself, and now the thinking aspect is what has to come different. How do you change, and how do you set that correct thought process? Because again, people get so often trapped in the cycle of, just like you said, okay, I'm not making X, Y, or Z, whether that's numbers, sales, revenue, growth, whatever the inherent metric that you're trying to improve on. And it could be a, you know, typically in business, all of those things are interconnected. You know, revenue, growth, and sales, you know, are kind of, you know, similar things. You don't have one without the other. But what are some ways that people, you know, can really kind of shift their thinking process? Is it, you know, not, you know, and again, you mentioned the scarcity mindset, which I think is a really important thing to look at. You know, hey, I'm not making enough of X, and that's really drawing me down. You have to kind of reverse engineer that. So what are some kind of tools on reverse engineering these things, or the thought processes that go into having the successful mindset that you're trying to build?
Yep. So it all starts with having big, clear goals, and then dividing those goals. Like, so have your annual goal. Like, I have 3 to 5 year goals for my business, but then I have my, which are kind of more vague, but I have a very specific, clear goal for the year. Financial goal that's then divided into all the way down to the activity goals for each week. So I'm not letting myself off the hook. It's like, you know, I'm going on a diet, and then you fall off the wagon one day and you're like, well, I'll just, you know, I did mess up yesterday, I'll just mess up today. And, you know, before you know it, a month has gone by and you're nowhere. This is what happens in business ownership every single day. Business owners let themselves off the hook, but sometimes they don't even know where the hook is because they don't have clearly defined goals. So having those clearly defined goals, plaster them in front of you, hold a weekly meeting on a Monday and a Friday with your team, talk to your team about the specific goals we're here to achieve this week, with the principles that help us achieve those goals. So everybody is taking action. You know, if you're all rowing in the boat, you're rowing your oars at the same time in the same direction and working together to get there. So it all starts with you as the leader of the organization and then directing that down to your team. So big, clear goals broken down specifically, and then holding yourself accountable day by day. So if I come usually on Sunday, I don't generally wait till Monday morning because I don't like wasting the time on Monday morning to get organized. But I'll come into my office at some point on Sunday, clean up my emails, and then look at my kind of where I am in the month relative to where I want to be. And then that helps me, which I'm never off because I do it every week. So I know, okay, this week, these are my specific goals that I'm coming to do. And so you'll find when you own a business, there's a lot of things you have to do, but only a couple of things that actually move the needle forward. And those things are always around customer acquisition, which are always the things that people want to like shy away from, or that they believe it was the franchisor's job to do for them. Or, hey, I put a brand up on the side of a building, so people should be walking in. If they're not walking in, I don't know what to do. So this is what I mean. It's not the location's job to drive traffic in. In part, it is, but there's more to it than that. It's not the marketing plan, right, that's supposed to just make everybody pick up the phone and call you. There's more to it than that, right? And when you have that active, warm lead, what process do you have? So as soon as I walk through the door of your gym, how am I greeted? Is there a tour? Is somebody asking me to sign up and sign up for a membership? Or am I just left to my own devices to walk around and walk out? When I say, hey, I am interested in your gutter, and you come out, do you ask me for the sale? Do you engage me in a conversation? These are the things that the franchisees can control and need to control in every sales process. And these are the things that you will spend the rest of your life as a business owner mastering the art of. But first, you have to create the abundance, which is an abundance of leads. Every business needs enough customers. That's the first problem. Having enough customers will cure anything that ails your business. You can have the worst customer service, but if you have enough customers, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you don't want to burn bridges and have that reputation in your community, but you understand what I'm saying. The first problem and the fastest way to turn your business around is to focus entirely on customer acquisition. Once you have an overabundance of people that want to be in, do business with you, then you can get picky. Then you can refine what you're doing, right? Work smarter rather than harder. But first, we have to create the overabundance. And that's the part, that first part is the part that either most people don't believe they have to do in a franchise. They believe it's the franchisor's job, or they say, well, I didn't buy a franchise to be a salesperson. I'm sorry to tell you that if you own a business, you're a salesperson, right? Yeah. Because you need customers and somebody's got to find them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what always bugs me about people just, you know, deriding salespeople. It's like, we're the people that keep the wheels turning. It's like, without sales, there is nothing. There's no such thing as a business in a vacuum. So give us a little bit of love, man.
And sales isn't like, you know, some used car sales thing. Like, I mean, in a sense, I'm in sales, but not really, right? Like, I'm not selling franchising. I would say if I'm in sales, I'm selling freedom. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not really selling anything. I mean, I'm just trying to be the matchmaker. I'm the consultant. I'm trying to bring the two of you together. Even the people, like in part one, we talked about you're not being sold anything because the franchisor is not trying to sell you either, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to make a mutually beneficial relationship, a good match here. So there's development people that definitely are salespeople, but they're not selling you. Right?
Yeah.
You can look at any process like that, right? People who come to help install carpet in my home or build a California closet or repair my roof. And you can smell out, you can sense the person that's in it to make the sale or the person that's in it to earn a customer's trust. And that's generally who you're going to do business with. And so you want to be the leader of the organization that gives off that we genuinely care about you, Mr. or Miss Customer. We want to earn your business and we want to keep your business. And that's Absolutely. What's yours to control.
Yeah. And I always try to go from that mindset of, you know, granted, yes, I mean, technically you look at what I do and it is, you know, sales and business development, but I always try to go from the mindset of, you know, what I'm doing is going to directly, you know, I have a, you know, my client has a need that I am trying to help them with. I'm trying to help improve whatever franchise, to use franchise in a different light, I am trying to improve their franchise in whatever perspective that they are. You know, from the perspective of what I do professionally with, you know, retirement plans and alternative assets, is that they want, you know, an additional option. They want to be able to be more successful in what they're doing, and the service and the product that I have directly helps them with that. And I try to go forward from that, and I've been successful with it. And no longer they feel like, you know, they're getting sold a particular service, even though at a very granular level they are. They're being put in a position by utilizing a new service to help them attain some goal that they have. And I think in general, if you go from that perspective, everyone's going to be happier. You acquired a new customer. The customer is happier in the fact that they have a need that is now being fulfilled, instead of just being like, oh, I bought something. No, I am now improved across the entire board, from professionally, customer is happy, customer is now improved in some form or fashion. That's kind of the mindset that I have with it. And again, it tends to work out. And I think it kind of plays into that aspect of what you're talking about. And to kind of shift gears a little bit, because I feel like it's always good to understand, you know, how beneficial these things can be, but it's always good, you know, rarely do people ever come into any situation, you know, fully, you know, an unopened thing of Play-Doh, ready to be molded and, you know, be perfectly aligned with everything. People need a little bit of shaping, or maybe they are in, you know, the wrong perspective and they need some adjustment to mindset, or they have, you know, had some issues and stumbling blocks. Again, we're all human. That's, you know, everyone that's listening to this, maybe besides the AI bots, we're all human, right? So what are some things, at least from, you know, the thinking part, and you mentioned a couple things, you know, one, customer acquisition needing to be at the forefront of, you know, primarily, you know, from the, you know, in the context of what we talked about previously, franchisees, and also business in general, and also the accountability aspect of making sure that you hold yourself accountable, whether that's from workflows, meetings, or, you know, if it is really a one person shop, you know, other metrics that you can use. But where do you find the biggest stumbling blocks for people are? And then, you know, what is kind of the general trajectory for overcoming those?
So the biggest stumbling blocks in terms of like execution, like give me a little more clarity on your question. I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Yeah, I would say, you know, execution would probably be the biggest one, because it's easy enough for people to kind of take in the statements that we're making and say, okay, yeah, this makes sense. But it's, you know, really, you know, if they are mis-executing or maybe not executing at all, probably from the practical application of what you're saying, where is the biggest stumbling block?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to be internally driven and motivated, right? You have to have goals and dreams that are real to you. Like, do you really want to have those things that you say you want to have? And what are you willing to give in order to get them? So it always funnels back to me. Like, I mean, I have teenage boys and I'm trying to talk to them right now about, like, it's time to start getting focused on, like, you know, if you're going to go to college, like, why are you going to go to college? And are you going to go as a scholar athlete? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you got to focus your mind, because we are all incredibly powerful creators, whether we realize it or not. You're creating in your life every single day. So if you want this business to have a future, to grow from this infancy to this teenager to this business that you can step back from, and now it goes with your team, and you've got to have a vision for that, and you've got to have the motivation to build it. Now, as we talked about in the franchise, you're not making this up on your own. And one of the things I think that can really help you inside a franchise is finding an accountability group, right? Just like if you join a gym with a couple of friends, right? Or you sign up to do personal training in a semi-private group, you have other people that sort of hold you accountable to showing up, because it's not always easy. Life gets in the way. You're tired. I don't feel like working out today. I was a personal trainer. So, like, I always equate, and I think everybody, it makes it, like, real. People get it, you know, but it's the same mentality. So in the franchise, if they don't have accountability groups, find a couple of people in the franchise that you enjoy. And this isn't like a bitch session, excuse my language. This is a time for the two or three or four of you to come together weekly or biweekly and to really say out loud to your peers, this is what I'm working on. This is what I want to accomplish. I'm going to tell you, if you form an accountability group in a franchise, you and everybody in that group are way more likely to do what you say you want to do. Why? Because you got to show up the next week and be accountable to your peers. And nobody wants to you'll let yourself off the hook, but you won't let those other people off the hook. Like, it's hilarious how just having a couple of people who know what you're trying to do will motivate you to do it. So if you're not internally motivated on your own, you might have to create a scenario like that for yourself, which initially you may resist. But in the end, if your dreams are worth it and this investment of money and time in this business is worth it to you, which of course it is, because why would you want to fail? Then move out of your comfort zone and commit yourself to an accountability group. Because there's all kinds of ways. Like, I'm very internally motivated. I'm a personal development junkie. Like, if that's the best way to say it. If I'm on the treadmill, I'm not listening to music very rarely. I am listening to some kind of self-help book. Like, I read them all. I'm an avid reader, but I audible all my books while I'm working out or while I'm walking my dogs or when I'm cleaning my house on the weekends or whatever, right? So I'm always investing my mind in things that are helping me think about how to be a better person, be more productive in my business, grow, think bigger. I'm surrounded by people who, like, when I'm the biggest fish in the pond, I became, you know, the number one consultant in my franchise. I'm like, all right, it's sad, but I've outgrown these people. I got to go find a mentor outside of what I do who thinks bigger so that I can keep growing. And I actually attracted that person to me. He ended up finding me. I was like, you know, they always say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. That's 100% what happened. He found me through a podcast and asked me to be a guest on his podcast. And after I got to know him, I was like, would you be my mentor in business and in life? Because he's worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. And he was the most abundant thinker, or is the most abundant thinker I've ever met. I think I'm a positive person. I met him and I was like, oh man, like, I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but that's amazing. So you have to be willing, if you want to keep growing, you have to be willing to keep looking for people who can help you grow. But it's self-motivated.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So, like, I think, you know, leaning into human nature is kind of a big part of that, is that, you know, we're inherently social creatures by design. And, you know, to the accountability group, I really kind of enjoy that aspect of it, because again, going back to something as simple as, you know, working out, you know, if you cancel on your gym buddy, you know, hopefully you have, you know, someone that's not going to be like, all right, maybe they'll give you a little bit of grief. You know, I know my friends are, anytime I cancel on them or I don't show up at my gym, they're like, hey, where are you at? What you doing? What you eating? I'm like, don't, not, nothing good. Don't call. Okay, fine. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, having that kind of accountability, and as, you know, kind of fun it is to poke fun at, you know, maybe bad eating habits or not going to the gym, these, you know, principles are directly correlated and can be absolutely used. You know, if you're trying to improve, you know, yourself or your personal self, you know, extrapolate that to business. Okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z to get a certain result. And again, these things are simple. The execution and the delivery on them can be very difficult. And I think that, you know, is a core focus of a lot of this, is understanding where the difficulties lie. And I think the accountability group, to the, you know, kind of going back a little bit to the question I asked, you know, again, is a very simple resolution, you know, especially in the franchise world. You have this support structure. So reaching out and saying, hey, you know, by that legally defined thing, you have the book of all these people, reaching out to a few of them that you've met and say, hey, look, you know, like, let's do this. And you would be surprised, in sales, business, or life, the power of asking, you know, asking for the sale is what a lot of, you know, sales trainers do it. You know, if you don't ask for it, you might never get it. You know, that person may not necessarily want anything to do with it. It may not have been a sale, but you'll miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And if you just don't ask, you never know. They may have been willing and ready to do it. And again, having that accountability, I think, is very, very key, and kind of leads into the last point very well of the action. You know, again, talking, thinking, and acting, again, being the core focuses of a successful mindset. When, you know, when you say it, again, I always like to, and I do it a lot in sales too. I ask my leads, I'm like, you know, in your own words, tell me what you're looking to accomplish. And again, work backwards from there. So in your own words, developing, you know, your mindset coaching and your processes for helping people be successful with this, you know, what does the act portion of this mean?
So good. That was so well said. So I think that you have to not just think your goals and speak your goals. I think you have to write down your goals. If you have a place where you hold your team meeting with your team, you've got to have it plastered on the walls. And these aren't, like, you might have the annual goal, but then you're going to have like this month and then this week. I mean, I want it like granular. You got to have the daily focus in order to be moving the needle every single day, right? If you come to work and you're just busy pushing paper, you're not productive, right? We want to be productive. What are the things we have to do to move the needle? Yes, we have to be busy too sometimes, but we can't be busy at the sake of being productive. That was the shift that happened for me from 2010 to 2011. Stop lying to yourself, Kim, and get really dialed into what moves the needle and hold yourself accountable every day. I still write it down. I have all my little cheat sheets right over here. Like, and I don't do it on the computer. I do it on paper. Pencil and paper every Sunday. You know, I look at my month, I look at my year, I look at my quarter, whatever it is, and then I write out and I hold it. So all day long when I'm here on my computer, I'm looking over here, subconsciously I'm taking it in, right? And it's, I'm not forgetting. I at the end of the day, I think to myself, have I accomplished my goal, right? Or as soon as I get, I'm like, yes, my goal is done for the day, right? Like I celebrate the win. Celebrate the small things, right? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do you build a $1 million business in 12 months? $1 at a time, one customer at a time. So don't forget to celebrate every single day, right? Don't save the celebration for the end. Don't withhold your praise to your team, or more importantly, yourself, right? You're showing up for your dreams. Encourage yourself. Speak good words to yourself and celebrate the small wins, because the big win comes after a million small wins. Using your marathon example, right? 26.2, how many steps is that? It's one step at a time. That's all I know, right? You can't get to 26.2 until you take the first step and the second step and the third step. So celebrate each one along the way. And at the end of the week, if you're 80% on, you're on. Don't beat yourself up. Perfection isn't the goal, but it's not being 10%. And if it is, next week, you got to double down and think, how can I do this better? And not let it trickle into 3 weeks or a month, right? It's taking the daily consistent action and holding yourself accountable and always knowing where you are in relation to where you want to be. So I gave you the analogy that a ship without a port is lost at sea. If you give the ship a port, it might get there, but it won't always get there. But if you put a navigation system on the ship with a port, the ship will get there every single time. And this daily plan that I help people create when you're my candidate is the navigation system on your ship. Now, you still got to work the navigation system, right? You still got to show up and then execute. But if you're showing up and you're executing, let's say that you're shooting for $1 million in your first 12 months. And let's say that the average person does 300,000. If you end up at 600,000 your first 12 months, are you crying in your Cheerios?
Nope.
No, no, ma'am. No, sir, you're not, right? You're still way ahead of what the average thinker did. And that's the power of having big, clear, specific goals. It doesn't matter if you hit the goal. If you're 80% of it, I'm telling you, you're there. I always feel like if I'm hitting the goal is too freaking small. And that doesn't mean like I'm not like, oh, Kim, sometimes people say that sounds exhausting. It's not exhausting. It's just inspiring. And it's the way that I move forward. And yeah, there are times where you're like, you know what? Basically the whole month of December, I was able to take the whole month off, basically. My foot was off the gas pedal. Why? Because my business has a 60 to a 90 day sales cycle. And my year was done. What I could do to maximize my year was done come December 1. And I was a little bit tired. I had a really aggressive growth year last year. So I allowed myself the grace of not producing at the level that I know I'm capable of because I'd make up for it in January.
So absolutely.
Yeah. As an owner, you have that mental freedom to drive it or to not. But here's the thing. When you're not getting the result that you don't want, not blaming somebody else, looking in the mirror and saying, all right, you weren't as on as you should be. And making okay or not.
and making sure, again, to your point of just because it's a small success doesn't mean it's not worth celebrating. I feel like at least in, you know, general society and, you know, take anyone listening, take it for what it's worth, is that we get too caught up in the huge, you know, the huge end of the race. You know, you need to celebrate what you're doing and succeeding in your goals. If you set a goal and you succeeded in it and you accomplished it, there's no reason just because it's not the huge one you've set at the end of the race not to pat yourself on the back. You know, granted, you make the, you know, the couple sales, you know, let's say it's sales that you're focusing on and you had, you know, a goal to sell 3 this week and you hit that goal. Great. Awesome. Well, you know, you don't celebrate by going out and having a huge blowout dinner or, you know, a vacation, then, you know, wait till you kind of reach those big milestone markers, but, you know, give yourself a pat on the back, you know, whatever that means to you. And, you know, granted, make sure your celebration doesn't inhibit your ability to achieve those next goals and take that next step forward. But I feel like in general, people just get too, you know, they don't see the forest through the trees. You really get caught up in that aspect of, you know, I'm chasing a big goal and, you know, all the small milestones don't mean anything. They absolutely do, because you don't get to that big goal without having those intermediate milestones. You have to celebrate them. Don't be so hard on yourself. Be hard on yourself when it needs to. Hold yourself accountable. But, you know, we only get one life to live. You only have a certain amount of hours in a day. Congratulate yourself for what you've done. And just make sure that if you didn't accomplish it, you know, tomorrow's a new day. Don't let it become a persistent issue of I haven't done what I needed to do for a month. Maybe in that case, don't give yourself a pat on the back. But
yeah, you know, and you know what? Praise to your team goes a long way. And that's kind of like what I, right? Like when you have a team, when you're executing through a team, it's not always about monetary reward. When you were working for somebody else, would you have loved to been called out for an exceptional performance? Of course you would. Everybody loves to be validated in front of their peers. So remember that praise and recognition, gold stars, you know, like having some sort of reward system for your team for accomplishing their small daily tasks. And whether it's a text message from the boss or being called out in a weekly meeting or getting your name up on the in the break room for everybody to see that you did this, right? Like small things for recognition have more value than monetary rewards usually in the small wins. And so it doesn't have to cost you money to be rewarded or to reward your team and keeping them on track to accomplishing their weekly goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we really kind of hammered on a lot of great things about mindset. And the problem with the kind of conversation that we're having now is that there's so much that goes into it and so much that we want to cover. But as I said, everyone only has a certain amount of hours in the day. It's the one finite resource that we all have is time. So I really do appreciate you taking some of your non-renewable resource and spending it with us and our listeners today. It's been incredibly valuable. I really appreciate anyone that wants one that has content worthy of a two-parter, and two, that can, you know, bring good content for a two-part episode. So thank you very much for being with us today. And also, I always like to leave it up to the end of it. One, if there's any closing thoughts that you have, and two, certainly we've kind of alluded to it, you are a mindset and a franchise consultant and coach. So if they want to get in touch with you after you've given your closing thoughts, how can they do so?
I love it, Alex. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So for those who are interested in learning more about the right type of franchise for you, would you be a good candidate? Do you qualify? Absolutely reach out to me. I will not waste your time. My services are free for you. We'll have some fun. We'll figure it out together in a very short amount of time. So you can find me at www.thedailycoach. That's my last name, D-A-L-Y. If you're ready to go, get to my contact form right at my website. If you'd like to watch some of my 800 videos on YouTube, that's not an exaggeration, please go right over to kimdaily.tv and have at it. I have videos on all things mindset coaching, business coaching, franchise consulting, you know, everything. So find some videos that speak to you. And then when you're ready, you can contact me through that platform of YouTube.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much, Kim, for being on with us today. As always, this has been the Alternative Investing Advantage podcast. My name is Alex Perney, and thank you for joining with us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alternative Investing Advantage podcast. Tune in next week for more investing tips and strategies.
Want to hear more episodes of the Alternative Investing Advantage? Search podcast at AdvantaIRA.com and subscribe.